भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द डायनेस्टीज ऑफ द सन्स ऑफ मनु। टुडे वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट 10 टू टेक्स्ट 14। द फर्स्ट 4 वर्सेस दे डोंट हैव परपोर्ट्स, so we'll just read through the translations and then we will chant in response the text number 14. So first I will read the first 4 verses and their translations. Text 10. Evam shaptastu guruna pratyagranat krutanjalihi adharayat vratam veera urdhvareta muni priyam. Translation. When the hero Prishadra was thus cursed by his spiritual master, he accepted the curse with folded hands. Thus, having controlled his senses, he took the vow of Brahmacharya, which is approved by all great sages. Text 11 to 13. Vasudeve Bhagavati Sarvatmani Pare Male एकांतित्वं गतो भक्त्या सर्वभूत सुहृत् समः विमुक्त संघ शांतात्मा समयताक्षो परिग्रहः यदृच्छयोपपन्नेन कल्पयन् वृत्तिमात्मनः आत्मन्यात्मानम् आधाय ज्ञानतृप्तः समाहितः विचचार महीम एतां जडांध बदिराकृतिः। Thereafter, Prishadra gained relief from all responsibilities, became peaceful in mind, and established control over all his senses. Being unaffected by material conditions, being pleased with whatever was available by the grace of the Lord to maintain body and soul together, and being equal towards everyone, he gave full attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, who is the transcendental super soul, free from material contamination. Thus, Prishadra, fully satisfied in pure knowledge, always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved pure devotional service to the Lord and began traveling all over the world without affection for material activities, as if he were deaf, dumb and blind. Text 14, please repeat after me. Evam vanam gatva drishtva davagni muthitam teno payukta karano brahma prapa param munihi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaranda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. With this attitude, Prishadra became a great saint, and when he entered the forest and saw a blazing forest fire, he took this opportunity to burn his body in the fire. Thus, he achieved the transcendental spiritual world. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 9, जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम एवं यो वेत्ति तत्वतः त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Prishadra, because of his karma, was cursed to take his next birth as a Shudra, but because he took to saintly life, specifically concentrating his mind always upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became a pure devotee. Immediately after giving up his body in the fire, he reached the spiritual world as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Mam Eti, as a result of his devotional situation. Devotional service performed by thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that although Prishadra was cursed, he avoided the terrible consequences of becoming a Shudra and instead returned home back to Godhead. As stated in Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 54, Yastvendra Gopamathavendra Mahoswakarma Bandhan Rupa Phalabhaja Namatanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Those who engage in devotional service are unaffected by the results of their material activities. Otherwise, everyone from the smallest microbe up to the king of heaven, Indra, is subject to the laws of karma. A pure devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, is exempt from the... So this is a very, very inspiring verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and one specific line in this purport, Prabhupada makes a very important point. Prabhupada stresses about the attitude that Prashadra had in this apparently adverse situation where he has been cursed by his spiritual master for killing a cow, even though it was not done purposefully, it was clearly an accident because of the darkness of the night. But in spite of Prashadra himself not being at fault, still he is facing this adverse situation. So, text 10 which we read, the very first line of the translation, Prabhupada mentions, when the hero Prasadra was thus cursed by his spiritual master, he accepted the curse with folded hands. And this is a theme which is repeatedly seen in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam so many pastimes. So while preparing for this class, when I read that first line of the translation of text 10, so I just started recalling so many pastimes we have come across in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam where this theme has been repeatedly demonstrated by the devotees of the Lord. And ultimately, we see in the prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the prayers of Lord Brahma, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this attitude is actually put into words by Lord Brahma in this very famous verse, Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. So whatever adverse situations a living entity faces during his sojourn in this material world, whatever calamities, obstacles the living entity comes across, if a living entity is able to look at all these calamities, adverse situations, obstacles as results of kritam vipakam, bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam, atmakritam, that means these are all reactions to certain activities which myself, I have only performed in certain lifetime in the past. And therefore, I deserve much more than what I am right now experiencing. And with such an attitude, if the individual living entity continues to engage in the loving service of the Lord, then liberation is his birthright. So therefore, this particular verse also we see that after accepting this curse with folded hands, what did Prishadra do? He controlled his senses, took the vow of Brahmacharya, which is approved by all great sages, and after having gained relief from all his responsibilities and becoming peaceful in mind and establishing control over all his senses, what did he do? That he gave full attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is the supreme transcendental super soul free from material contaminations. And thus, being fully satisfied in pure knowledge, by always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he achieved pure devotional service to the Lord and began traveling all over the world. So therefore, there are two aspects. That first, this attitude how Prishadra accepted this curse. We see even in the first canto, right in the first canto, we see two instances where Narada Muni recounts. Actually, this particular class, when I was preparing, another point which came to my mind was one of our favorite presentations. When our youth preachers, we go to colleges, one of our favorite presentations, which is lot, I mean, the title is very appealing even to the general populace without having any devotional connotations. And the title is very appealing, and it's a very popular presentation among youth preachers. Failures as stepping stones to success. It's a very common presentation which many of our youth preachers, they present. And when such a topic is given to college authorities, they also like to know how to convert failures as stepping stones to success. Little they do they know what is coming. But it's a very popular theme. And that particular theme also struck me, that how devotees, they show us that apparent reversals, how they can be converted into great opportunities to advance in spiritual life, to increase our loving devotional service to the Lord. So right in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the episode of Narada Muni, where actually Narada Muni in his previous life was like a very celebrated musician, Gandharva, by the name of Upabharana. And because of certain misdemeanor on his part, being puffed up by his position, by his beautiful, handsome bodily features, his very melodious voice with which he could sing and charm everyone. So because of certain misdemeanor, he was cursed by the senior demigod denizens of the demigod world, Prajapatis, to take birth in this material world. And here, from that position, here he was born as a son of a lowly maid servant. And this maid servant, she used to serve the devotees of the Lord, the Bhakti Vedantists. And having that opportunity, this small boy, he also engaged in the service of these Bhakti Vedantists to such a, he pleased them to such an extent that they also allowed him to take the remnants of their food. So, from Upabharana to this son of a maid servant, and because of such opportunity to engage in such service of these pure devotees of the Lord, from this son of a maid servant, back again to Narada. The name itself suggests a person who is capable of giving Narayan to everyone that he meets. So such a apparently it is a reversal, an obstacle, that he is cursed to come from the heavenly planets to this material world and being born as the son of a maid servant. But then that reversal, we see, actually then took him to such an extent that he is an eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world. Another episode we see in the first canto again of King Parikshit. King Parikshit, hunting in the forest, thirsty, tired, fatigued, walks into the ashram of Shamik Rishi. He sees that this Rishi is deep in meditation. But because, at various places in different verses, the purport to different verses during this pastime, Prabhupada mentions time and again that actually even Parikshit Maharaj, right from his birth, right from when he was in the womb of his mother, he had the darshan of the Lord, direct darshan of the Lord, right when he was in the womb of his mother. So such a personality who had this great opportunity, he is a pure devotee of the Lord. So how can this pure devotee of the Lord be affected by such bodily bodily problems like thirst, hunger, fatigue? How can he be affected like this? So the very fact that Parikshit Maharaj was affected by these problems shows that it was the desire of the Lord that such an episode take place. He accepted it, he accepts it. It is just the desire of the Lord. Not that, because otherwise you cannot explain how a pure devotee of the Lord can be affected by such bodily inconveniences. And to such an extent that he is a pure devotee of the Lord, he follows. In fact, Kali came into this material world at the time when Lord Krishna left the material world. Right at that time, since that time Kali was there in this material world. But the only reason that Kali could not extend or spread his influence over this material world was the presence of Parikshit Maharaj as the king of the universe. That was the only reason which was keeping Kali from extending and spreading his influence all over this material world. So that was the power of Parikshit Maharaj. And how could that personality, who could keep the influence of Kali away, who could keep the influence of Kali at bay, how could such a person be influenced by such bodily inconveniences? So therefore, Prabhupada says over and over, many times he mentions in the purports, that it could be only possible because it was the desire of the Lord, it was ordained by the Lord that such an event should happen. Otherwise, not only that he was inconvenienced, even if he was inconvenienced, he was the king. And he was the king, such a principled king, such a king who could keep the influence of Kali away, definitely he would be aware of all the religious principles and how he should behave in relationship with a Brahmana. What should be his behavior in front of a Brahmana? He will be definitely aware. Such a powerful king who could keep Kali away, he will be definitely aware of all the scriptural injunctions about how to behave with a Brahmana, how to behave with a Rishi, especially one who is deep in meditation. Then how could he perform such an act as putting a dead serpent around the neck of that snake, around the neck of that Rishi? How could he perform such an act? Even if he was influenced by the bodily inconveniences, but still he would definitely be aware of all the injunctions, scriptural injunctions regarding how to behave with a sadhu, how to behave with a brahmana. How could he do this? So again Prabhupada points out that it is only possible if it is ordained by the Lord. So therefore, when this whole pastime happens, and then the irresponsible son of this Rishi, Samik Rishi, he curses that within 7 days, Parikshit Maharaj will be beaten by this serpent called Takshaka. So after some time, when Parikshit Maharaj becomes aware of this curse, he becomes aware of what has happened. So then his response, how he responds to this particular situation, this adverse situation, this obstacle, apparent obstacle. So, actually, as soon as Parikshit Maharaj goes back to his capital, he immediately starts repenting for what he has done. Even before he knows, even before he becomes aware of what, of this particular Brahmana boy, Sringi, that he has cursed me, even before he becomes aware of this fact, his attitude is of repentance. That why did I do this? How could I do this? How could I behave in such a manner with such an exalted personality like Samik Rishi, who is deep in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So he was repenting. And while thus repenting, he received news that this Brahmana boy Sringi has cursed him to die within 7 days. And it would be, his death would occur due to the bite of this snake bird Takshaka. So, how did the king accept this news? The king accepted this as good news. Sa sadhu mene na chirena takshaka nalam prashaktasya virakti karanam. Why good news? Because it would be the cause of his virakti, indifference for worldly things. Because it would become the cause of his indifference to worldly things. Therefore, so immediately when he received this news, very unlike a conditioned living entity, this particular part demonstrates how King Parikshit is a pure devotee of the Lord. This demonstrates, just like Prahlad Maharaj, he demonstrated his qualities. Because he had heard right in the womb of his mother, when he was in the womb of the mother, he had heard from Narad Muni about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when he was born, right from childhood, even when he was a small child, he was exhibiting all the qualities of a pure devotee of the Lord. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj also had the opportunity to get the darshan of the Lord while he was in the womb of his mother, and at such adverse, apparently adverse situation, it is brought out, their pure consciousness is exhibited. So as soon as he receives news of his imminent death, his first reaction is of happiness. What good news you have brought. This is such a good news. And why is it such a good news? Because it is going to cause indifference towards worldly things. I will be completely indifferent towards all worldly things. So then what did he do? Not just indifference, okay. Generally, you know, even in this, one of these translation, Prabhupada mentions in this translation to the 11th to 13th verses, Prabhupada mentions that again here, thus Prashadra, fully satisfied in pure knowledge, always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved pure devotional service to the Lord and began traveling all over the world without affection for material activities. That means being indifferent to all material activities, to all things material, without affection for material activities. So again, as if he were deaf, dumb and blind. So therefore, this indifference to material activities, we see, is a common factor in the attitude displayed by both Prashadra and Parikshit Maharaj. So most important thing, after developing this indifference to material activities or material things, what do we do? So therefore, sometimes so-called scholars, they try to use certain sections from the scriptures for their own benefit and they make up certain things, but it won't work. So one famous personality in India, he had these three famous characters always with him, three monkeys. One had closed his eyes, one had closed his ears, and one had closed his mouth. Three monkeys. And then he translated as, hear no evil, see no evil, say no evil. But actually, it's not just hear no evil, see, that's just negating the bad. But rather, it should be more of going on the positive side. Developing, and this indicates closing your ears like here, as if you were deaf, dumb and blind, indicates indifference to all things material. But these so-called scholars and leaders, they apply it to material things, thinking that it is equally applicable. So therefore, after becoming indifferent to all things material, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He sat down firmly on the bank of the Ganges to do what? To concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness. And he rejected all other practices of self-realization. So exclusively he concentrated his mind on the practice of Krishna consciousness, thinking about Krishna. So therefore, this is another very important point, that not just rejecting the material activities, not just becoming indifferent to material activities, but more on the positive side, to completely concentrate one's mind in Krishna consciousness. And why? Because all other practices of self-realization are superseded by the practice of Krishna consciousness. And achieving the transcendental loving service of Krishna is the supreme most achievement that a person can hope to get. So therefore, Maharaj Parikshit, knowing this fully well, he completely rejected all other practices of self-realization. And next, what did he do? Having focused his mind completely on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he decided once and for all and sat on the banks of the Ganges to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So again, similarly here, after having become completely indifferent to material activities, Prishadra, always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved pure devotional service to the Lord. And with this attitude of first accepting whatever adversaries, whatever obstacles, so-called obstacles which we experience in the course of our life as the desire of the Lord, and then accepting it as an opportunity to become indifferent to material activities and material things, and completely focusing our mind on the practice of Krishna consciousness, with this attitude, he became a great saint. And when he entered a forest, he saw a blazing forest fire. So he saw a blazing forest fire, and what did he do? He took this opportunity to burn his body in the fire. Just as after Parikshit Maharaj achieved that attitude, after completely focusing his mind on the activities of Krishna consciousness, he decided to go to the banks of the Ganges and fast unto death and give up his body to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So we have to understand that even though he was cursed to become a Shudra, even though the curse had full potency to be transferred, to come true, but because he was fully surrendered to the to the Lord, that curse could not act. Just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masuchaha. So therefore, even though he was cursed, and that curse was having full potency, but still, because of his superior attitude and because of his complete surrender to the lotus feet of Lord, he was protected. Now, how is this relevant to us as sadhakas? First and foremost, we have to understand that it is the great mercy of another pure devotee of the Lord, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that we are able to hear about these pastimes, about the pure devotees of the Lord. And Prabhupada also exhibited this particular attitude. In fact, one of the letters, at one point of time when Prabhupada had just gone to New York, in very, very early days, 1965-66, and Prabhupada was trying very hard in New York to somehow try to establish a temple, Radha Krishna temple. And he was having correspondence with his godbrothers and many wealthy financiers from India who would somehow finance. So, he was trying to raise some funds from India, and somehow all his efforts, all his attempts to somehow establish a Radha Krishna temple in New York City were not giving any results. He was not being successful in his attempts. And under such adverse conditions, when his attempts to raise funds, when his attempts to get some help from his godbrothers, all these attempts were being fruitless, Prabhupada writes a letter to one of the disciples of his godbrothers, and this letter is very, very revealing of Prabhupada's attitude. Prabhupada writes, "So the controversy is now closed and there is no need of help from anyone else. We are not always successful in our attempts at preaching work, but such failures are certainly not ludicrous. In the absolute field, both success and failure are glorious. Even Lord Nityananda pretended to be a failure at converting Jagai and Madhai in the first attempt. Rather, he was personally injured in such an attempt. But that was certainly not ludicrous. The whole thing was transcendental, and it was glorious for all the parties concerned." So Prabhupada, this one line, "In the absolute field, both success and failure are glorious." Even Prabhupada, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because on an apparent external, from an external viewpoint, there might be success or failure. But ultimately, in spite of success or failure, what is the consciousness of the individual living entity who has externally, apparently succeeded or failed, determines whether that individual has succeeded or failed in the eyes of Krishna. Does our apparent success or drive us to become proud, drive us to become puffed up? Or does our failure, externally manifest apparent failure, drive us to become cynical about the entire process? Or rather, it drives us to an external failure drives us to become more, try hard, become more persistent in our efforts to please the Lord. So what is the mood? What is the consciousness? What is the attitude in which we approach, in which we accept externally apparent success or failure? Determines whether we are successful or failure, whether we are a success or a failure in the eyes of Krishna. So ultimately, the success or failure on an apparent bodily material platform does not matter so much as much as whether we are successful in pleasing Krishna or not. So another line, His Holiness Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj in the Lilamrit, I would like to read this. He says, seeing him from a distance, a tiny figure walking the streets of Manhattan among many other tiny figures, a foreigner whose visa had almost run out, we come upon only the external appearance of Srila Prabhupada. These days of struggle were real enough and very difficult, but his transcendental consciousness was always predominant. He was not living in Manhattan consciousness, but was absorbed in dependence upon Krishna, just as when on the Jaladuta he had suffered his heart attacks. His reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita had supplied him the nectarine of life. He had already succeeded. Now Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj is writing on a more deeper level. He says he had already succeeded. Certainly he wanted to provide Radha and Krishna a temple in New York. But his success was, he was remembering Krishna even in New York City in the winter of 1965-66. Whether the world recognized him or not, whether the world around him, the people around him in the city of New York, especially Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj is specifically emphasizing on, even in New York City in the winter of 1965-66, especially for a person from India, New York winters can be a real shock to their bodies. So for a person going from India to New York, winters in New York can be a real shock. This is the first winter, 65-66. First winter Prabhupada is facing in US, especially in New York, where everything freezes during winter. It's a white winter. First time Prabhupada had seen snow all over the place. And in the midst of all these hardships, his success was that he was remembering Krishna, whether the world recognized him or not. Not a day went by when he did not work on Krishna's book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And not a day went by when he did not offer food to Krishna and speak on Krishna's philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. In spite of so many apparent reversals, his theft of his typewriter, his typewriter was the one thing which he really was, you know, he wanted that instrument because that was helping him in his process of bringing out the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the theft of his typewriter, and so many reversals, apparent reversals. But still, like in fact, just the other day, Shyamanand Prabhu was mentioning in his class, one time Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who asked him, but Prabhupada, what about, you know, when you were a grihastha and, you know, what about your life as a grihastha and how do you manage your household? You would not get entangled in your day-to-day life. So Prabhupada told him that as far as I can remember, in this lifetime, there was not a day when I was not Krishna consciousness. There was never a day in this lifetime, Prabhupada says to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when I was not Krishna conscious. So therefore, it is the great mercy of such a pure devotee of the Lord that he has got
He has given us this opportunity to engage in the Sankirtan movement of the Lord. And what is this Sankirtan movement? This fire of Sankirtan, Sankirtan Yajna, just like Prushadra, and also we see in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rishabdev, he also similarly enters into a blazing forest fire. At the fag end of his life, when he has completely focused his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and in such a consciousness he enters a blazing forest fire, Prushadra, Rishabdev, all these great devotees of the Lord. So, as I said, for us, conditioned living entities, sadhakas struggling hard in this material world, the only solace is to take this fire of this Sankirtan movement, Sankirtan Yajna, completely immerse ourselves in this Sankirtan Yajna. Why? Because this fire of Sankirtan is cooling, is not burning. And with this fire of Sankirtan Yajna, we have to extinguish the fire of this material world in which we are. Like many times in the West, actually, in India, when there is a forest fire, people don't even try to put it off. Like in Maharashtra, if you travel now by trains through the Western Ghats, they are all green. But you travel during January or February, they become brown. No trees, no shrubbery, nothing. There's no water, and all the trees and the shrubs, they dry up, and spontaneously or sometimes some other farmers or hunters, they light fire to the hillsides, and the entire hillside burns and it becomes brown. Nobody even tries. But in the West, when there is forest fire, there are really massive forest fires, they actually try to put out the fires. And one of the techniques of putting out the fires is when the fire is spreading, and the fire is spreading in one direction. So if the fire is spreading in one direction, they go say 10 kilometers ahead of the fire, and they form a big strip of say 100 meters, and they burn everything in that strip of 100 meters. The firefighters themselves, they burn it up. Why? Because when the fire reaches that point where they have burned up a 100 meter strip, then there is no more fuel. Because for a 100 meters gap, all the wood has been already burnt up by the firefighters. So there is no more fuel for the fire to burn. And that is one of the ways that they use to stop the fire. So similarly, they fight fire with fire. Apparently, the firefighters are lighting fire. But they are not lighting fire. They are using fire to stop this bigger fire, forest fire. Similarly, the forest fire of this material existence in which we are, we have to use this fire of Sankirtan Yajna to gain relief from this forest fire of material existence. So therefore, we should take complete shelter of the Sankirtan movement, which Srila Prabhupada, out of his causeless mercy, has brought for us, and perfect our lives and try to go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, comments. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai.